set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill all my heart with thy great love divine, so that I live to follow thy design. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, search me, O God, and cleanse my heart from sin. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Impart thy word and make me pure within. Make my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it whole. Thy great love divine, so that I live to follow thy design. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God. Search me.
Week at camp, and man, it was probably one of the best camps that we had. And by the way, if you want to give a testimony, if you could come up to the platform at this time, I sure would appreciate it. Man, don't be shy. Just come on up, sit right next to Pastor. You know, put your arm around him, whatever. And so come on up. And had a wonderful week at camp. Many of you prayed, and many of you supported. You know, God just moved in a really special way this year. And I'm very, very proud of the teenagers that you've entrusted in my care. The reason why they've done so well, why they've been so responsive, is because they have good families. They have parents who love the Lord and who encourage them to follow. At this time, what we'll do is we'll have a couple people, several people, give some testimonies, and then we'll follow it up with the word.
I've been privileged to go to teen camp. I think, well, it's been three times now, and it's funny because teen camp's one of the most camps that I go to. I don't really like going to most of the time. My parents make me go to things like this. But teen camp is one of those events that I look forward to every year, and I can say that without lying. I do look forward to it. I remember, and pretty much every single time that I've been to teen camp, I've made a decision which has completely altered the direction of my life. And I thank, you know, Brother Shepherd and Mrs. Shepherd for really pushing me to go the first time, because I really didn't want to. But I went, and ever since then, my life has been changed definitely for the better for Christ. And I know the first time that I went, I received my calling for full-time ministry. The second time, I got a little more specific instruction about that calling, as far as what college I was going to go to and what I was going to study there at that college. And this time, knowing that I was going to leave for Bible college in just a few weeks, I didn't know if there was anything that I could really get from teen camp. And I don't know if anyone's ever felt that before. I mean, it's almost like you go into it with a spiritual lukewarmness that I was going there to have fun. And that sounds terrible. That's the truth. And I was going there, and my heart wasn't ready for what happened. And this happens every time at teen camp. It's like when you're super cold and you jump into a super hot shower, and your body goes into shock, and you start like foaming at the mouth and all these things. That's just me. But I came into teen camp, and first couple messages, I just sat there and listened and took notes, and I didn't really apply anything. Until one day, I had a chance to talk to one of the pastors there, and I also had a chance to talk to Brother Shepherd, obviously. And we were talking about something, and it was completely unrelated to the real spiritual deep-rooted problem in my life. Completely unrelated. But through that conversation, the pastor had said something, and it stuck all night long. And I went to bed on that, and it was like repeating in my brain. And he told me that one of my biggest problems, and it always takes someone from another church to tell you this, because the guys in your own church are too nice. He says, your biggest problem is that you're focused on things, and he didn't say it exactly like this, he's a nice guy, but he says, I was focused on things that didn't have anything to do with God. And I'm like, that's not true. But it was. And once I started to realize that my problem was not how much do I know the Word of God, my problem wasn't how much preaching I listened to, my problem was that through all that preaching, through all the time at Calvary Baptist Christian School, I was still focused on me. I was still focused on what the ministry could give me and not what I can do in the ministry to further God's ministry, and it really, Christ working through me. And I made several decisions throughout camp, but the biggest decision I made was to, and I went way too long, I'm going to stop now, but my decision was to focus on Christ in every aspect of my life.
In case you guys don't know my name is Nicole, and this would be my third year at teen camp. And every single year, I just like what Matthew said, I remember every decision I made, and I still try to follow those decisions from like 3 years ago. But this whole week of what the pastor taught was mainly about salvation and mainly witnessing to other people to Christ. And the very last night of the teen camp was really struck me. Because the pastor was talking about a ministry, and that your ministry as a Christian was to go to witness to other people about Christ. And also, for me, it was funny because, like, 1 week ago, I'm, like, on this, like, teen camp, like, on this teen camp high and, like, the spiritual hype and everything. So I'm, like, I'm ready to go. And then God placed it on my heart, like, a few months back. I was talking to some of the girls from a teen camp, and I was talking to the girls about my testimony in the cabins. But before this all happened, I was talking to some of the girls, and I was like, hey, why don't we just go to the mall and reach out to other teens and just, you know, invite them to church? Because our teen group has been kind of lowering down because the seniors are going to Crosspoint and stuff like that. So it's just like, well, I feel that maybe we can make a huge influence on it. And then I told them about that, and they were just like, yeah, eh. And then so I was looking at myself, and I was just like, wait, like for me, I don't know. I don't think I can do that. But God has been really burdening on that my heart. So then I prayed about it, and then I was just like, you know, God, if this is really what you want me to do, then show me some signs. Show me that, like, this is really what you, this is what you want to do, or this is what you want me to do. So then 2 days before teen camp happened, me and my mom went shopping, and we went to the outlets, and this girl, like, she was ringing our stuff up, and she was just, she poured out her whole life story of how she had cancer, and then how she's cancer-free now, and then now she has her whole job situation, her whole life situation is, like, as a job, like, when you're working at somewhere, you're not supposed to tell other people what your problems are, but for some reason, she told us about it, and I felt that it was a God thing, and I told my mom that the burden that's been on my heart, I told her to my mom, and my mom was like, wow. So then I was just like, okay, I see that one sign, God, I get it. So then the next day, that very next day, me and my mom went to the mall, and there was this girl, and then I was talking to my mom, and I was just like, oh, hey, mom, I can bring this to teen camp. And then all of a sudden, this girl, she just hopped into our conversation. She's like, oh, teen camp. And then we got into like a 30-minute conversation saying like, oh yeah, I have a church and then I have a school there. She was like, yeah, I'll find out more information about it. I'll bring my girl there and everything and stuff like that. So then they really proved to me like, well, God, this is what you want me to do. You really want me to go to witness to other people to Christ and everything. But then on teen camp, I was just still like, no, I just can't do it. It's just not me. But then that night, on the very last night of teen camp, the pastor was just like, God can use people who think they can't do it, and that's what God wants to do. And so I was just like, you know, that's me right there. Like, I don't think I can do it, but for some reason God wants to use me, so I have to use it. And another thing he said was that it's not you, it's what really is the Holy Spirit and the power of God working through you to witness to other people to Christ. And so I was just like, you know what, that's so true, because it's not me doing it, it's really God. So yeah, in order for me to do it, I need to decrease on my life and decrease about me and put him first and to increase in my life. And so I made that decision that night to just really be a proclaimer for God and really to go, to not be afraid and to go witness out to other people and to just share the gospel, the truth to other teens and stuff like that. And so that's my decision I made.
Enough.
I don't know how these guys do it up here. It's like nerve-wracking seeing all these people here. But this is my fourth year of teen camp, my last year of teen camp. And this is, every teen camp has always been somewhat of a life-altering experience. And I have the shepherds to thank for that, because with everything that would go on in my life with different churches I was at, they were always the ones who were constant in my life as far as in a teen ministry. And so that makes me like very grateful about that. As far as the teen camp experience, it was great. There's always a huge blessing in seeing people your own age, teens my own age, who are ready to receive something from God's word every day, because we hear God's word twice a day, every day at teen camp. I remember there were quite a few messages preached about salvation. There was one that was taught by Pastor Owens, Pastor Rick Owens, and it was one about respecting your parents. Now, you'd think with a child who was raised in a Christian home, they would have that down. But being human, it's easy to snap back and to try to treat your parents in kind of a manipulative way. And so after that message was preached, I remember right now, just think about it, a quote that that kind of stuck to me, and it was that, you know, you need to appreciate your parents now and respect them now, because you might not have them later on. You don't know when you're not going to have them. So one decision that I had made was to respect my parents more, because, I mean, why not? I mean, they've done so much for me.
Amen.
Another decision I had made was, I guess when you think about it, it's not that huge and life-altering. In a sense, I guess it is. But it was about prayer. Now, although I had my devotions all down, like reading my Bible every day and reading however many chapters I had every day, there was still something lacking, and that was my prayer life. It's easy to pray over our meals. It's easy to pray before you go to bed sometimes, otherwise you fall asleep. But a decision that I had made about prayer was that I would actually make a list, because it's easier to remember requests that people have given you, and it makes it a lot easier to pray instead of trying to remember everything. I remember the second day of camp, and I'm just like all over the place, but the second day of camp, Tuesday, Pastor John Getz Jr. preached a message, just your standard salvation message. And I remember at the invitation, he was asking people how they felt about their salvation, if they felt that they were saved, or they knew they were saved, or if they couldn't choose whether they were saved or not. And I remember just trying to convince myself, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, because I got saved at an early age. And so I remember the girls' cap at the girls' devotions. We all went to the nurse's office to visit Mrs. Shepherd for our testimonies, because she was in there all week. And I remember staying back, and she helped me get through that, and she helped me as far as just kind of getting it out there that, you know, I wasn't assured about my salvation. And so that night, I remember just praying to God and asking him to save me again so that I would have that assurance. And she filled out a card for me, so if ever I had a doubt, that I would always remember, and she's my witness, that I was assured that night. The last night of teen camp, again, like Nicole had talked about, it was about salvation and more specifically being a good steward. And it reminded me of my coworkers, you know, back at Cold Stone making ice cream. And I remember these two girls, how they always come across my mind, Vanessa and Ryan. And they're two girls that I've gotten close to at work. And so that last message and the whole teen camp was just a good reminder just to be a good witness, because it's not ourselves that give us our potential. It's God through us that gives us potential to do great things for him. So those are my decisions.
Okay. So my name is Jacob, for those who don't know me. And if you haven't known me for an extended period of time, you know I hate public speaking. So with that being said, my face is going to get red. And just ignore that. So, okay. So here we go. Teen camp was amazing. The food was great, surprisingly. The games were really fun, really, really fun. I enjoyed trying to tackle people. And the preaching was just great. And I made quite a few decisions, and just three I would like to share with you real quick is, one night I made a decision about my influence on people, because I realized since I'm getting older that some people look up to me. Well, seventh and eighth graders, but still. Like, they look up to me, and my voice is so shaky. Man, all right. Some people look up to me, and I just want to be that godly influence for them as they grow up. And another thing that God talked to me was about my daily walk with the Lord, because usually every year before camp, like 2 weeks before, try to read my Bible, try to pray, try to really get on board with God, get a connection with him again, because I just don't want to feel like super terrible at camp. So that's what I do. And I just made that decision to try to keep that daily walk with the Lord so I can keep fresh with God. And the last decision that I made was that no matter how many times that I fall into sin or do something that I know that is avidly against God, it's I want to try to get back up and don't be discouraged that I sin, but just realize that God is a forgiving God, and thank God for that. And just realize he's forgiving, and just move on with my life. And so before I end this, I just want to thank Brother Shepherd and Mrs. Shepherd for all that they do, and I really appreciate everything that they've done for me. And did just love dogs. So that's it.
Hi, I'm Garrett. Camp was amazing. One of my favorite moments was Little Shepherd took me into the other room, and he assured me of my salvation. And like, the reason I did that was because, getting saved at such a young age, and like, you have a lot of doubt because you grow up in a Christian family, and there's that point where you're just not very sure. And one thing that really told me to do it was, it came to me that I wasn't giving him, like, I'd be doing something and then God would call me to do something else. And I would say, okay, God, I would take my, kind of like I would take my body there, and I would leave my heart where I wanted to be, where my flesh wanted to be. And I made a decision to, like, just give God my all, because that's what he deserved, because he gave us his all. He gave us his son. Thank you.
I've got to admit, first of all, this year's teen camp was one of the better ones. Even though, I mean, they're all great, the preaching especially, and then the food, that's a different story. And I'll try to keep this short. I'd love to preach, but that's later. Of course, at teen camp, you hear a lot of, at this teen camp anyway, you hear a lot of preaching, and you're bound to make a decision if you're really focused on what God has to say to you. And for me, it was one simple decision, and that was to just witness more to friends, to people I see every day, And growing up in a Christian home, you'd think it would be easy to witness to others. Well, I also go to a public school, so that really adds to the frustration. Because you have all these people around you who are doing this and doing that, and you know that's not Christian-like, and that's not how it's supposed to be. Every year I came home from teen camp, and I'm always on fire. Yet every time I go to school, which for me is in 3 days, I just kind of step back out of the light, and I just go back to the darkness, and gotta admit that wasn't one of my better choices. But this year, I don't want that to happen again. No. I want to witness. Everyone, we want to witness. And no matter how hard that may be, we still need to try. Just even if it, you don't always have to bring your Bible and say, oh, would you like to know how to get saved? Sometimes it's just giving them a track, you know?
Amen.
And to end it, I just want to think back 2 years ago. I prefer not, but 2 years ago, I believe, Green Valley Middle School, which is where I attended, suffered a tragedy, the loss of a student by the name of Janelle Conway Allen. She decided to go, she went home one day, but she went through Allen Witt Park down in Fairfield, and she was killed. And before that happened, a friend of mine who also goes to school, his name is, I don't remember his name, sorry, but he was Christian, I knew that, and he wanted to witness to Janelle, but every day he would put it off. He just kept putting it off, saying, oh, I'll do it, I'll witness to her some other time. And when the day came that Janelle did, and he asked, where's Janelle? Because he did not know. And he also realized that it was too late to witness, because there are souls that are dying and going to hell as I speak, because God calls people to go across the seas when he calls us to just go across the street and witness to our neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
Well, my name's Preston. Most of you probably already know that because I've kind of been in this church forever. But a lot of things happened. Good at camp this year, good food, lots of injuries. And lots of fun, but I learned a lot at camp this year, such as Austrian man named O'Leary, or that you should never leave two men named Joe together alone, or humility by way of lunges. But the most important thing I would have to say was a lot of times I tend to let my pride or me getting butthurt tend to get in the way of me witnessing to other people. So a lot of, especially here in the last year, and specifically the last 2 months or so, I've kind of just put things off because I decided that this person didn't deserve to be talked to about Christ, or that I just didn't feel like it. And the whole week, God kind of pounded that same one message into me all week long. And by Wednesday, I had really just gotten it. That's what God brought me to camp for, that one sole purpose, to teach me. And it was kind of like God was trying to add this board onto my spiritual life. And he was screwing in this screw. But come Thursday night, it kind of felt like the drill ran out of battery. And it felt like that all day. The morning service and the night service just kind of went in one ear and out the other, you know. And the morning service was a little bit better the next day. And that whole day I was just kind of praying that the Lord would lay something on me, you know, just kind of, you know, smack me in the head with a baseball bat or something so I would get it. And come the beginning of the evening service, the whole message from the very beginning just kind of pounded into me. It was like the battery was just recharged in that drill, and he was drilling it into me. And he, Brother Getz talked about this guy named JB and Wayne, and this guy named Wayne, he was raised in a Christian home, but he didn't like the strict rules and stuff. So come 18, he decided to join the army, and he went into the army and went to the Vietnam War, and he became friends with a guy named JB, and his friend continuously asked him for a track because his friend JB was quite certain that he was going to die out in the field. And Wayne insisted upon saying, no, you don't need the track. You don't need to learn about that. It's pointless. And one day, JB got sick, and he had to go on a boat to go to a sick bay camp or something like that. And he didn't end up coming back because on the way back his boat was attacked by the Viet Cong, and he found his friend dead. Wayne found his friend dead, and it kind of hit me how many people I've let slip by, how many opportunities I've actually missed to lead people to the Lord. And it hurt that I was silly enough to let that happen, to take other people's eternity and put it on my comfort and my pride. And the one thing that really hit me the most at camp was, I believe it was the Wednesday night service, but Brother Getz said something that I'll never forget. He said that not even God's love can reach hell. And I thought about that. An all-loving, an all-caring God, a God whose love is completely boundless, and his love can't reach a place called hell. And it really just stuck with me, and that's kind of what I learned at camp. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Joe, and I'll first start off saying thank you to the Shepherd family for giving us the opportunity to come to teen camp, and I guess I repaid him a rake in his arm, but things happen. I made a lot of decisions at camp, but Rush never told me to keep it short, so I'll sum up to one decision that really allowed me to make all the other decisions. Is Brother Getz preached on the subject of prayer one night, and it was about how when we go to prayer, we need to seek God's will. And whenever I never had too much of a problem of, you know, reading my Bible, and, you know, kind of like Tyler said, I would, you know, go through the prayer requests and, you know, just, you know, tell God, you know, what the principle was, you know, the story or passage I read. And I would never really seek God's will. And I kind of built up this kind of a filter, and I would have my will and then God's will. So it'd have to come through my will, and if that fit God's will, then would that be great? And it really spoke to me that to flip that around. And every decision I make, even from the past teen camps, even for, you know, messages I hear from pastor, that always kept me from, you know, really making a decision on fire for God. So the decision I made was just put God's will above everything in my life.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and as you can tell, camp was really great for all of us, and we all learned a lot and made a lot of good decisions. One message out of all the messages that really spoke out to me was a message that Brother Getz preached on the final judgment, and it was about, like, death and dying, but not super morbid, but just about how it can happen any day, and you're never really too certain about when you're going to die, and to just, like, that's why you need to live for the Lord now, because you never know if tomorrow's promised. And I remembered, while he was talking about it, this near-death experience I had. It's really intense. So one day my mom bought these sleep masks things that you wear over your eyes when you sleep, and she was like, oh yeah, it can be like a little girly thing we do together, and I was like, okay. So I took one of the sleep masks and, you know, slept with it on, and I woke up, well, I didn't really think I woke up, I thought I was dead, mainly because the thing was still over my eyes, so all I saw was black. And I was really confused because I was like, this can't be how it ends for me. Like, I was really excited, you know? Like, I had school and stuff, and I was just like, oh my gosh, no. And I was like calling out, like just yelling random things. I was really hysterical. And my mom came through and she was like, Savli, what's wrong? And I was like, no, you're dead too, we're both dead. And I was like, I was really scared. And then she was like, what are you talking about? Take the thing off your eyes. And I was like, take the mask off, obviously. So I wasn't dead, I'm still here. But that was, I did, as silly as it sounds, I really was grateful for life that day, because I thought it was just over and done. And I was like, I'm so young, I don't deserve this and stuff. So like that whole day, I was just like, wow, like the smallest things like just were like, wow, I'm so glad this is happening. Like, I think I even fully listened to one of Brother Shepherd's like lectures without falling asleep. And I was just really grateful. And so it like really hit me how, well, I didn't die, but how like it can just happen. And like, that's how it's gonna be. Like, it's just done. And it's whatever you've done for Christ, like that's all you've had. It was your life that you lived. Mm-hmm. And I remember, okay, first off, I'm a really big procrastinator. I know it's hard to believe, like, oh, you're such a hard worker stuff, but I'm a really big procrastinator. And so one night I was doing a paper and it was due the next day. And I was thinking, like totally unrelated to my paper, but like, how come no one knows when God's coming back? And like, he never told Moses or like Paul or anyone, like none of us know. And like, you know, I was doing my paper, I finished it and then turned it in. And then it kind of just like a week or so after it clicked. And I was like here I am turning in a paper the day before it's due, when I knew like 2 weeks or so in advance when it was due. And I mean, I'm not sure if that's the exact reason why no one knows why God's coming back, but it's kind of like the same thing. Like, if we knew God was coming back in like 2016, we'd probably still live for ourselves, but then save the last 2 years for God and be like, oh, these 2 years are for you, God. And it wouldn't be a genuine thing that we do. We wouldn't genuinely be living for him.
That's it.
And so that was like one of the main decisions I made, was to try to have a genuine life for God. And I mean, amongst other decisions, that was the main one that really stood out. And just aside from all of that, just really thankful for these guys, man. Like, been with them for nine long years. like, I think my first year here was also their first year, and so we've kind of, you know, been together. I've helped them out, they helped me out. And it's weird to think that, like, I'm not in the youth group anymore. Like, sometimes I still refer to Crosspoint activities as teen activities, and I'm like, hey, are you going to a teen activity? And they're just like, oh, you're not in teen group. And so it's really hard, and I just encourage all the teens to really enjoy the time you have in there, and don't take it for granted, because, like, these guys, they love us, you know? And, I mean, Brother Shepherd has a broken arm and stuff, and he's still, I don't know, he's still there, you know? Like, he didn't just leave, or, like, you know, I'm going home, Joe broke my arm and stuff. He still stayed there. And I just thank you guys for all you've done for me over these years, and thank you guys for sending us teens to camp. And yeah, thank you.
So this week at camp was great, and I need to clarify why that I was in the nurse's office all week. Is I was camp nurse. So at the very last minute, right before camp, their nurse had surgery or something and couldn't come. And honestly, at first I was like, sure, I'll do it. And then I got to thinking about it, I don't really want to do this. And then further, when I got there, I found out I had to sleep in the nurse's station too, in case somebody came at the middle of the night and needed help. And so that meant I was away from my girls. And that's always a really special time for us. And so I was really bummed. I got really down. And then, honestly, I didn't get anything out of the messages, because I don't think I attended a full one the whole week. Somebody always had a boo-boo that needed to be bandaged. Or oddly enough, their ankle was hurting so bad and they couldn't walk on it. And I thought, well, it's good we're sitting in church, but it had to be managed right now. So we went and fixed it. And then the one day I did have off, we had to go to the hospital. So, but God spoke to my heart, and two things real quick. And he said, you know, if you had remained the same with staying in the cabin with your girls, your circle of influence would have been those seven, eight girls. And this way, maybe not so much spiritually, but physically, which is helpful spiritually too, you got to influence a lot of people, because I saw a lot of people day in and day out that I probably would have not had contact with if I had just hung out with the girls most of the week. And so I'm thankful for that, that God brought in my circle of influence. And the last thing was, although I didn't make it to most of the services or couldn't sit through a whole one, I learned a lot through the kids. They came and brought all their gems back to me, and they just inspired me so much. And they're so, they just think things through. Like, Stephanie, I never thought about why we didn't know when God was coming back. That's great. So they still have a lot to teach us, and so I learned through them, and they just inspired me just to love God more. We get really comfortable and complacent, and I was just inspired, you know, to just give a little bit more and feel that joy a little bit more, and on purpose have joy in the Lord.
All right. Man, 9 years ago, I came to Calvary, and we've seen a lot of things happen. When I first came here, this building was bare concrete, open walls, and Pastor walked me through and said, "This is going to be, you know, our welcome center, and this is going to be that." And he said, "You know that little like world sculpture thing we have on the wall out front? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay." But he said, "Yes, and right here we're going to have this 3D hologram world thing." And I'm like, "Wow, that's legit. This is the church I want to serve in." And then I asked Shamsuddin, and he's like, "I have no idea what he's talking about." But when we came here over 9 years ago, I was planning on staying for 2 years and then going to China as a missionary. I wanted to reach and train Chinese nationals to start home churches. I was preparing my family to purchase a diesel, you know, F-350, man, I was excited about that, and a travel trailer, a fifth wheel, and, you know, spend a few years in language school, and go on deputation and actually leave for the field. However, things didn't exactly go as planned. I had the mindset that being the youth pastor would, you know, just be a temporary thing, 2 years, and, you know, I'm sure everything would fit just right because I can't stand teenagers anyway, so right after 2 years, man, I'd be gone. However, I soon discovered that the teen ministry was incredibly, quite possibly the most fun and fulfilling thing easily that I've ever done in the ministry. Fell in love with my position, fell in love with the church, fell in love with the staff and just everything that was included. Man, it's just great. One night on Tuesday night visitation, some of y'all don't even remember when we had Tuesday night visitation. It was Tuesday, right? Not Thursday. Tuesday. Okay. We had that Sunday morning visitation. Remember, we were on that, Pastor? And we were riding in a pastor's car. A pastor said, "You know what? You've been here 2 years. How about you just stay for five? So stay for three more years." And that was, you know, easily agreed. The ministry was so incredibly fun that I failed to realize that 2 years soon became five, and now 5 years has quickly, nearly, begun, became 10. However, as the time flew by with the joy and fulfillment I experienced, I somehow managed to grow a little family of my own. I realized that I didn't bounce back as quickly from camp, the lock-ins, and the wrestling matches. Yes, and with the team boys, and let me get that clear. Soon I was beginning to wonder if being the youth pastor was still fulfilling God's will and plan for my life. You know, in a place like this, it's incredibly easy to get comfortable. Staff is great. I mean, Shamsi, I want to hug the guy every time I see him. You know, you want to as well. Don't sit there all pious and whatnot. Staff is great. You know, we have supportive parents here. And, you know, the teens are very, very responsive. And in April, I brought these concerns to Pastor and asked him to pray with me concerning my position here at Calvary Baptist. It's through the prayers of my family, the staff, and myself, obviously through the Holy Spirit, you know, I've come to realize that, man, as much fun as I've had, and man, just as great as each and every one of y'all have been, God's transitioning me and my family in my life right now. My wife and I feel that we fulfilled the purpose that God had here for us as staff, and now it's time to pass the opportunity on to another. Therefore, I feel like it's God's will for me to step down from my position here at Calvary Baptist as youth pastor, teacher, and treasurer, so I may focus on the most important position which I currently hold, and of course that is husband and father. Struggle with this decision for quite some time, and the biggest concern I had was the biggest concern I had was I felt like I was leaving God in the ministry. And I love the ministry. I've had so much fun. I've seen people hit tractors with the side of the, you know, on the side of the building. Hit the church with tractors, and I've seen near misses and broken bones and stuff like that. I mean, I've had so much fun, and I was just so afraid of leaving this place, leaving the ministry. But God showed me that being in the ministry does not necessarily mean that you get your paycheck from the church. David undoubtedly is one of the greatest men in the Bible. He wasn't a priest. He worked for the government. He was a government worker. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he wasn't, you know, on the staff of the church full time. He sewed tents. Many other great people of the Bible were lay people. So you might ask, what do I plan to do next? Well, I want to continue to do what I've done for the past 10 years. And I want to love and serve God alongside the pastor and staff and each and every one of you here at Calvary Baptist. My family and I will continue to be faithful and help in any capacity that God leads us, and are looking forward to new opportunities to serve in our church family. If you could do two things, I want you to do two things. Number one, if you could call me Joe, that would be awesome. I haven't heard the word Joe in like 10 years, except for when my wife is mad at me. Then it's Joe Daniel, actually. Please pray. And then number two, please pray with us as we seek to follow God's leading in our lives and search out his perfect will for us. Thank you so much. We love you all.
You know, we one of the things that I, as a pastor, have always done is I've always encouraged our staff and the church family to be in God's will. That Joe said it all tonight, because that's it. You know, my will is I want to keep him forever, but that's not God's will for Joe. You know, God has something else he wants him to do. And, you know, most pastors, we live in a time period when, you know, youth pastors are revolving doors in most churches. You know, they come, stay a year or two, and then they move on to another place and do the same thing, and another place and do the same thing. But, you know, Brother Shepherd has stayed the course for 10 years. And that's a long time. It's a long time to you know, stay and work and do all that he did, and I appreciate the hard work that he has given to the ministry here at Calvary Baptist Church, and we want him to be where God would have him, his next place, wherever God wants him, and if God would leave him here and you know, and serve for a while as just a lay person until he finds, you know, exactly where God, he is welcome to stay. Amen, church. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we want to do that. We want to be a blessing. We've given him a severance package to give him an opportunity to transition and get everything set up. And so we're helping him with that as well. And you know, it's hard for us to say, you know, this is not the end. This is just a transition to something better for him. And so we're excited about his future and what God's going to do in his life. And I want you to pray for him. Pray for God's will to be done in his life. And I love his family. And so it's going to be difficult for me. But I want you to pray for him and pray for God's will to be done. And whatever God wants to do with their life, we want God's will for them. That's the key. And I appreciate him. It's not easy to get up and do this. I've done this only a couple times at churches. And I'm thankful for his willingness to come and do that. And I'm thankful to God for how God used him over the years. Now, what that means is for us as a church in the future is that we, you know, for the time being, this is opening doors for some lay people to serve in that ministry and help in those areas. We really need lay people to help us with the teaching and then help us also working in the, maybe having activities, things like that. And so we'll be coming to some of you and asking to help us and then use that for, you know, whatever God will lead you to do and enable you to, and then allow Brother Shepherd and his family to get settled and do what God would have him do. Mrs. Schmidt, I'm glad you're here tonight. I know this is not easy for you either. But thank you for being here. This is Heather's mother. She'll be flying back, I think, what, Monday or Tuesday? Tomorrow night? She gets to fly back tomorrow night. And so we'll be praying for you. And thank you for coming and helping. And do pray for the Shepherds. Can we give another round of applause? And thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. We don't want to give you a send-off because you're not going anywhere, okay? But we're going to, you know, we want you to know we do love you and we thank God for you. And we certainly want God's best for you. All right, let's stand together one more time. We'll sing 160. I'm going to preach about 10 minutes if you'll be patient with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus because that's what I want to sing about tonight. And certainly that's what this is about, Jesus. Amen? So let's sing hymn number 160. Give me about 10 minutes, and I'll give you all I got in 10 minutes, okay?
Sing it together on the first.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior.
Your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 tonight, and I'll just read a few verses here. In verses 1 to 4, a very powerful chapter in the book of Colossians, and these verses speak very highly of what God wants us to understand about the pursuits of life. What are we pursuing in our life? What is it that we are seeking after? It's an amazing thing how that every one of us in this room, all of us, from the time we're little children to the time of where we are today, every one of us, we have built within us this desire to seek after something, to pursue something, to go after something in life. Whether it be, you know, fame or fortune or education, or whether it would be a position, whether it would be things, or whether it would be Christ. The bottom line is this: it is not are you seeking? I know you are. It's what you are seeking. That's the bottom line. And all of us have an opportunity to make that decision. And if you notice in verse number 1 of Colossians 3, the Bible says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. So what God says is that God says, he tells us where we're to seek, what we're to seek after, what we're to look to, what is really significant and powerfully important as believers. You know, we think sometimes that our jobs are very important. Certainly we can't make it without a job or some source of education. Some source of financial support. We know that. We understand that. But the fact is that God says that we must make sure that we focus where God wants us to focus as believers. For example, we find in Scripture those who focus in the wrong places. Jesus spoke about a man in Luke chapter 12 when he said these words, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that is so contrary and counter to our culture of today. So many of us think that our life consists on what we have. We have the idea that my life and my identity is the car that I drive, or the house that I own, or the job that I possess, or whatever the case is. And Jesus said, for the believer, that is not our identity. That's not what we are. We are not that which we possess. And the fact is that those things which we possess should not possess us. The fact of the matter is what we really need to do is understand that our focus is to be on Jesus Christ. Some understand that according to the Scriptures, is that there are those who would seek after finances. And Paul writes this, and he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusted in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Still, some are seeking contentment. And the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't it good to know we have a God that answers every one of the world's problems? He has that. And he explains that to us. So I want to give you some thoughts very quickly. And I told you 10 minutes, and I'll try to stick as close as I can to that 10 minutes. I promise. All right? Number one is your desire, the desire. There's three lessons we learn that Paul tells us. The desire. Where should our desire be? What does he mean by desire? Well, what happens is when you and I get saved, our desires should change. I don't know about you, but the moment that I got saved, my desires changed. What I did not like, now I like. And what I liked, I don't like. And you say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about spiritual things. When I got saved, I desired to read God's Word. I desired to be in church. I didn't have to have someone say, now look, we have church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And sometimes we have revival meetings that'll go for 10 days. You need to go to those. It wasn't anyone to instruct me about that. I didn't grow up with that. I didn't know anything about what that meant. All I knew is this: if the church doors were open, I was going to be there. My desires changed. Up to that point, I didn't want to go. But God did something in my life. God changed my life. And so the meaning of this idea of God's going to change your desires the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. It's exciting to hear these young people as God's working in their hearts, and God is working from the inside. And I appreciate that, because that's the starting place. New life gives new desires. Now, what's the means? Well, I'm to seek. That means I'm to have an urgent, ambitious desire for those things that are eternal, and those things that are godly, and those things that are heavenly. And that's what Paul's writing about. Seek those things which are above. Not stars, not clouds, not those things, but heavenly things. That we're to seek after those things which really matter to God, and what should matter to us. And the idea of seeking here is in a continual tense. It means I seek it every day. So tomorrow morning when I wake up and open my Bible and I read it and I say, Dear God, tell me what it is that you want for me today. I just want to do your will. And I don't want to do my will, I want to do your will. Seeking God, seeking those things which are above, looking to those things which God says are significant and powerfully important and eternal. And that's what God says. So God gives us, number one, the understanding of the first lesson is having right desire, seeking those things. Let me give you the second lesson I find here, and I'm hurrying, so be patient with me, is the direction is always the place. And that place, of course, as I mentioned clearly, is heaven. Heavenward. I want to seek heavenly things. Jesus said this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, I'm to seek God first and foremost. And I'm to seek that place called heaven. I want that in my life. I want what God wants. I want those eternal things. Because whatever I need, God will provide it for me. And my job is to just trust God. You might say it this way. My job is to do God's business, and God will take care of my business. In other words, God, if I seek God, he'll, and I do his business, guess what? He'll take care of my business. So make sure that we understand that. And I appreciate Brother Shepherd being willing to say, you know what? I want to step aside. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing what God wants, the direction God wants me to go. And I want to make sure that I'm lining up with that. And by the way, I think every one of us in the room here, we should be evaluating those things in our life. Amen? You know, if we're not careful, we can get in a life cycle where we get stuck. We're just stuck here, and we're just going in this, you know, same thing, like the old proverbial hamster in that cage that's spinning around. It's good to know that we evaluate. This summer, I spent an entire summer, and I can't even believe it's over. I'm not even done yet, but I've been spending time just evaluating time management. How am I doing? What about my spiritual life? And I kind of set a course, a personal growth goal this year that in the next 12 months, some goals that I want to accomplish for God. And I want God to work in my life and help me. I want to do some personal evaluations. I think it's very important that we understand that we need to stop and evaluate where we are, because life is moving rapidly. I mean, honestly, I can't even believe the summer's over. It seems like I just put my Christmas tree away last week. You know? And we're just moving quickly. And so God says we have to understand how important that is. And so the direction is, number one, the place. Number two, the direction is the person. The person is Christ. My focus is on Christ. I want Jesus to be the center of my life. I said this morning, this church is not about church. It's not about music. It's not about programs. It's not about philosophy. It's not about happiness. It's about Jesus. And we want to keep it that way. That would be our life's goal. That my focus is on him, and that I'm wrapped around his love, and that his love is wrapped around me. That's what I want. And then thirdly is the plan. We're not to pursue the things that are on the earth. Boy, how good the world is trying to get us to pursue these earthly things. If we can grab this and hang on to this and do this and do that. And God says, oh no, look, don't seek after those things. They're temporal. Seek after God and his righteousness. And so the plan is that we make the choice to look upward. There's one more lesson, and I know I'm hurrying, so stay with me and understand, is the determination. How many of you agree with me that there is a determined effort on our part to do that? If we have the propensity to seek after something, we know that the devil's going to try to get us to seek after the wrong things. So we have to decide on what we seek after. Now notice in verse 2, there's a powerful word there, if you missed it, which I missed it for years, and then one day God gave it to me, it's like a light came on. Here's what it says. Set. S-E-T. Set your affections. And I wanted to understand what that was, and so I studied it out, and I found out that's a nautical term. And the idea is that it's like a ship that would be in a sea. And in those days, of course, they used sails, and they were sailboats, if you would. And they would set the sails in the direction they wanted to go and trust the wind to take them there. And the wind came from God. And here's what God says. Set your sails in the right direction, and I'll lead you. That's what he's saying. Set your sails right. Put your sails in the right. You know what a problem is? We put our sails in the wrong direction. And that's what the world would want us to try to buy into their program. And God is saying, look, make sure that if you understand that if we're going to look and seek after the right things, that we set our sails in the right direction. We make that decision. Maybe tonight for you, that might be, you might need to come here and say, you know what, here at the altar, I need to make a decision to set my sails right. I need to put my life on course. I need to make sure that I'm going the direction God wants me to go. That means that I have to change the way I think. My thinking needs to be, how do I do that? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we see here in a service, and we hear the same, you know, we hear a lot of the same passages and same messages that go along with what could be a life change, but we say, oh, we've already heard all that. The problem of it is, we're not setting our mind and letting our mind be affected by God's word. We must make sure that we open up our minds and say, God, what is it that you want me to set my mind on? And then there's the dedication. There's the dedication. The dedication is to mind spiritual things. You know, there's a whole world that you don't see, and that's your spiritual world. It's the invisible world, if you would. We don't see air, but we know there's evidence of air. We don't see a lot of things, but we know it's there. And here's what God says. We're to focus on the spiritual. Focus on what is really matter. Focus on what does make a difference. Focus on your soul. Focus on those things that do matter. And Paul reminds us of that, seeking after those things. Those things are above is what really matters for us as believers. I hope that that's the case with you. All the way back in Jeremiah was calling the nation of Israel back because they were not seeking after godly things. They were seeking their own way. And here's what this verse really stood out to me. And I said, you know, this says it all right here. Jeremiah 45, verse 5, here's what it says. And seekest thou great things for thyself? That's a question. Are you seeking great things for yourself? God says, seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. You know what he's saying? Don't seek life for yourself. Seek it for God. Seek what God wants and follow that. That's what he says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the honesty and the clarity of the scriptures. And Father, I pray that as we consider these thoughts very carefully from your word, that we will not seek our will, but we'll seek your will. Lord, guide us now in the moments that we have.